AAC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 34th episode, Blue Bloods.
My mind was spiraling down from the chaos that preceded me these past couple days. My secretary had just lost a brother to a drug cartel, Marla was recovering in the hospital, and I had lost some feeling in my head trying to find out what just happened. So, like any other chump that needs a break, I found myself drinking my thoughts away at the local bar. I tried to make conversation with the recently hired manager, but he seemed more interested in other matters. Many other matters. I almost felt like I was just talking to myself, and even worse, the only things that came to mind were the unusual incidents that I had so unfavorably experienced. I could not seem to get that candle-loving oaf Murray's voice out of my head. He must hit me in the head a couple more times than he claimed he did.
Ocean's Kiss. We hit you over the head with it.
I tried very hard to get that gruff, smoky voice out of my head and into the past where it belonged. So I called the bartender for another drink. Bartender, could I get another?
Sir, I think you gotta slow down. Do you even realize how long you've been here?
I don't care.
Right away, sir.
He turned to pour me a drink, and, like an annoying record, the voice kept playing back. I tried so hard not to listen, but it was just too much.
It has subtle hints of Peruvian breeze. You should enjoy this signature scent. Your drink, sir. I hope you'll be paying for that. Sandy Shoals. Sir, did you hear me?
I shook my head and then realized that the bartender had been hovering above me for some time. He seemed very upset about something, so I asked what the matter was.
Look, I can't have you ordering any more drinks after this one unless I know you will be paying for them. Glenn's Bar, Ben speaking. No, I get that a lot. It's a common misconception. Hey, Flynn, phone for you.
Hello?
Harry, we got a situation going over here. Could you stop by as soon as possible?
What's up?
Look, I can't talk much right now. Just get here as soon as possible.
He hung up the phone, and I turned to get up and leave. Unfortunately, when I was right at the door, the bartender called out to me.
Buddy, where are you going? This isn't an all-you-can-drink-and-leave kind of bar.
I got business.
Don't worry about it. Ben, just put his tab on my tab.
You sure?
It's fine.
Well, thanks. I'll get you back.
No problem. Bartender, can I get the tab?
Here you are.
Thanks. Wait. What the?
I got in my car and hurried over to the police department. On the way, I couldn't help wondering what Spinelli was so worked up about. I guess I'll soon find out. I walked in to find none other than Officer Spumosa waiting idly by.
Halt! Who goes there?
It's me. Harry. Hello, Spumosa.
Harry? Oh, that Harry.
How are you, Spumosa?
Good. Wait, I'm supposed to tell you something.
Well, what is it?
I can't remember.
Oh. Good.
Spinelli sent me down here. You are supposed to come with me. We're going on a field trip to Mr. Murdoch's office.
All right. Spumosa and I went up to Murdoch's office. When we arrived, I noticed that the commissioner was already there. They were passionately discussing something. Well, as passionately as you can argue with Rogers, up until the point they noticed me.
Harry, we've got a call and we think you can help. Take a look at this.
He handed me a paper corroded with different sized letters from news clippings. What's this?
It's a ransom note. Once again, are you an idiot?
Someone called in a kidnapping.
All right, what do they want?
Well, the thing is, there's no actual ransom. It's just a note that was given to make note of the kidnapping.
Okay, what's the name of the victim?
Her name is Cindy Kensington. She and her husband are some of the richest people in the whole city. They own a quarter of the town themselves.
Kensington. Well, do we have any suspects? Witnesses? Suddenly, Spinelli came in and he seemed to be nervous and sweating.
Hey, Murdoch, can I talk to you real fast? Hey, Harry.
Sure, I'll be right there. Harry, I need to go. I think the commissioner can help you from here.
The commissioner. Oh, good. As they both walked out of the office, I felt compelled to keep the conversation with the commissioner short and sweet. I didn't want to get on his enthusiastic side. Sir, do you have any more information about this kidnapping?
What? No.
Well, is there anyone who may be able to give a lead on this case?
No.
Commissioner, look, I... Pick it up.
I'm not picking it up. You pick it up.
Hello?
Please, you must help me.
The man at the other end seemed worried beyond recognition. He was a foreigner who did not seem at all controlled in his speech. Sir, please calm down.
I don't see her. Where is she? My wife... gone. I want her back. Give her back.
Hold on. Your name isn't Kensington, is it?
Yeah. Franz.
Good. Franz, can you tell me what exactly happened?
Two men is mask and all black go in. Take wife. Gone.
All right. I didn't mean to upset you.
Please, I'll give you anything you want. Just give me my Cindy back. Oh, no. Oh.
I could hear Franz crying. And let me tell you, this man was very upset. Listen, I'm a private eye. I can help, but first you need to help me. We talked for a good deal of time over the phone. I couldn't get much information out of him, but I was able to understand that his wife went to visit her father, Dr. Guy Mansfield, earlier that day. He was a local orthodontist who, as all accounts go, was a very timid fellow. I went to his large regal mansion to pay him a visit. Dr. Mansfield, I'm Harry Flynn. Sorry about the situation. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
What would you like to know?
Well, let's cut to the chase. Do you know if your daughter has made anyone upset lately?
I don't understand the question.
Has your daughter ever had any enemies?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she is a very needy girl. She is my favorite daughter. I wouldn't be surprised if her friends would sometimes be jealous of her. You know, not enough to... I'm sorry, this is a sensitive subject.
I see. Was she in contact with anyone else before her kidnapping?
And my butler bumped into her before she left.
You mind if I talk to him? He nodded and left the room to get his butler. I waited for what seemed like forever, but suddenly, a very scrawny, malnourished man entered the room. How are you doing today?
What?
I soon realized this man was hard of hearing. How are you?
Yes.
Okay, well, I just want to know, what do you think of-
What?
Are there any-
What?
How do you like Dr. Mansfield's daughter?
Oh, she is a very annoying little girl.
Really? Well, is she herself-
Speak up, lad.
Has she done any wrong to you?
No, I don't have a gong.
Is she a bad person?
Oh, yes. I don't like her. She is spoiled rotten. In fact, if it were me, I'd be glad she's gone.
A bit harsh, don't you think?
What?
Never mind. I finally gave up on asking the butler any more questions, so I went to see Mansfield to thank him for his time. Unfortunately, he left on emergency, but he left a note by the door. It read the address 1459 Vine Lane and the name Lucinda Penbrooke. I couldn't figure out why Mansfield didn't tell me about this girl when I asked him, but I was growing impatient, so I went to see this Lucinda. I ended up at a very small cottage house. I knocked on the door, and right then, a very attractive blonde appeared in the doorway. She wore a very revealing dress, and she seemed to be expecting someone.
Hello, can I help you?
Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. Were you expecting someone else?
Oh, no. Expecting someone else? Would you like to come in?
Yes, thank you, Miss Penbrooke. My name's Harry Flynn. I'm a private eye, and I would just like to ask you a few questions about someone. A Mrs. Cindy Kensington.
Yeah, what about her?
How do you know her?
We used to be friends. Now we're not.
And what happened between you two?
I really don't know. She became so... bossy.
Interesting. Were you aware that she's been kidnapped?
What? When did this happen? Oh no, I hope Franz is all right.
How do you know Franz?
You know Franz?
I'm a private eye, working for him.
Oh, right. We both went to school together. He was an exchange student. He's a dream, isn't he?
When was the last time you talked with either of the Kensingtons?
Well, I gave them a visit before I left for Boston. That was last Wednesday.
Boston? What were you doing in Boston?
I was there on personal business. Oops, look at the time. Sorry, I have to go.
But I... She quickly shut the door before I got another word in. It seemed that all signs were pointing at this girl for the main suspect in the Kensington kidnapping. And yet, she had a pretty solid alibi, being out of state at the time. I only had three options to choose from, and each suspect seemed to carry no hard evidence that I could work from. Unless there was someone else who could have committed this unruly mishap. I suddenly realized that there could not have been only one suspect, but two. Hell, for all I knew, all three of them can be in on it, in some sort of strange blue-blooded power struggle. I had to dig deeper.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Blue Bloods, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Beautiful day.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, hand me a worm, would you?
Sure. Hey, Mel, give him a worm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I got some. Hey, guys, I got some. Get the net.
Yeah.
Almost got it. There we are, and it's a wallet.
Whose wallet?
Let me see. Melvin.
Give me that.
Must have fallen out.
Well, we're out of worms.
Yep.
Yep.
Friends, how many times has this very scenario happened to you? You're out on what is supposed to be a relaxing fishing trip with friends, spending the day casting your lines hither and yon into the murky waters, and all you have to show for it is an empty net and a tackle box full of broken promises? Well, worry no more, now that there's the fish babbler.
The, what now?
The fish babbler! New from Sappy Sanderson Incorporated, makers of the incendiary frying pan and joke taxes, comes the fish babbler. As the name suggests, the fish babbler is a long, straw-like fishing call, which, when used properly, emits a sound that is nearly irresistible to bass, perch, walleye, trout, and any other fish you can conceivably think of. Just dip the beveled end in the water and...
Hey! I got one! I really got... Oh, it's heavy. Well, what do you think of that?
It's just that simple.
Well, what about the worms?
A thing of the past. No more will you have to sully your hands preparing one of those writhing little slime nodules.
But, what if we liked it?
Okay, let's hear some of those testimonials, huh?
I love fishing. The feel of the line being cast out from the subtle flick of one's wrist. The tranquility that only hours of sitting in a boat waiting for a tug on your line can give you. The understanding that, even if one doesn't get a fish this time, that it doesn't matter, because you were, for that time, completely at peace with yourself and nature. Fish babble turns fishing into a 5-minute process, completely eliminating everything I have previously mentioned. Thanks, fish babble.
My husband is an alright fisherman. He goes out about once a month with his buddies when he can, and they seem to have a ball. Only problem was, he wasn't bringing back anything bigger than a minnow. That is, when he brought fish home. So as a surprise, I bought him the fish babbler for our anniversary. Now every time he goes out, he comes back with mountains of fish. Thanks, fish babbler.
I had mistakenly misplaced my drinking straw one day on what was supposed to be an excursion to the local creek, and in a fit of distress, reached for a discarded, fish babbler. Well, I have a habit of blowing bubbles in my soft drinks. Needless to say, I was attacked by all sorts of fish in what the local witch doctor referred to as a Loi Ula Be Kalaka, or wave of angry fish. I don't feel comfortable recounting it, nor do I want to talk about it after this point.
Most days, the fish babbler sells at prices so astronomically high, you'll wonder how the manufacturer can competently stay in business. But if you call today, we'll give you the fish babbler for $10 and a good quality peanut butter sandwich. The number is 1-877-GLOBE-GLOBE. If you order now, we'll also throw in Eau de Fish, the powerful fish aphrodisiac. Here, smell this.
Now what is a... Oh, Martha, that is foul.
The fish babbler. 1-877-GLOBE-GLOBE. 1-877-GLOBE-GLOBE. All peanut butter sandwiches must be in a small box covered with brown paper wrapped with twine and postmarked from Vermont.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I had been back in my office for a few hours now, calling various persons to let them know what I had dug up. As I was just finishing up making notes of all the important details that I could remember from my interviews, all the while nursing a gin and tonic, my phone rang. It was Spinelli, calling about a major breakthrough with the case.
Harry, I'm calling about a major breakthrough with the case.
Good, what is it?
The kidnappers have turned themselves in.
What?
Yeah, how about it, right? They just waltzed right up to the station, admitted what they did, and asked to be put away.
Something doesn't seem right. I'll be right down. I went to the police station, and sure enough, two brutish-looking men were seated serenely in the questioning room. Murdoch was watching over them like a hawk, glaring at a field mouse before the kill. Commissioner Rogers was watching over them like, well, like they were slowly drying paint. I pulled myself up a chair and got down to it. All right, gentlemen, name's Harry Flynn. I'm going to be asking you some questions.
Sure thing, boss.
Yeah, we're ready to answer anything you throw at us.
Anything?
Yeah, anything.
Who hired you?
Except that.
Oh, good. Well, where is Cindy Kensington?
She's in a warehouse in the industrial section of town. You take a right down on...
I'm sorry. I can't place that accent. Where did you boys say you were from?
I am from Massachusetts.
I am also from Massachusetts.
Thank you, gentlemen. That will be all.
Hold on, Murdoch, I'm not quite finished.
I said that will be all.
He motioned in for two cops to take the great big lugs away, each one with a rather contented look on their face. Murdoch had a word with Rogers, who nodded and left, then re-entered the room. I spun around to face him. Murdoch, what the hell are you doing? I wasn't anywhere near done with my questioning.
Flynn, you didn't need to ask any more questions. It was right there in front of you.
What are you talking about?
The kidnappers were from Massachusetts. Who just spent a weekend up in Massachusetts?
Lucinda? You think she did it?
Flynn, I'm only working off of what you told me. Being in a few different states did seem to give her a decent alibi, but, well, seeing as she seems a little out at wits, it does seem like the sort of thing she'd try to pull off.
But what does she gain if her friend is kidnapped?
Flynn, I admire your spirit in this, but we're done. She did it. Write it up in your case file.
Before I could get in another word edgewise, Murdoch was gone down the hallway. I walked myself out, just in time to see Officers Spumosa and Spinelli bringing in and booking Lucinda.
Tell it to the lawyer, lady.
I did.
Well then, tell it to the police.
But you are the police.
Oh yeah. Tell it to,
The judge, Spumosa. The expression is tell it to the judge.
Tell it to the judge.
Spumosa, why don't you go get a sandwich or read a magazine or something and I'll book her, okay?
Oakley dokles.
All right, just come over here, miss.
I didn't do it. I swear.
And just like that, the case was over. I suddenly found myself without anything to do on a Friday night, and seeing that my liquor cabinet at home could use some stocking and, hell, I could use the company, I decided to, once again, head over to Glenn's. Or is it Ben's now? I'm still not sure.
Welcome to... Oh, Flynn. You got the tab money?
Yeah, about that. No.
Look.
I won't lie to you. No.
I don't want to have to do this, but until I see some money from you for this tab, I'm cutting you off.
What? Glenn never did that to me.
And that's why Glenn went bankrupt.
All right. What's the damage?
See for yourself.
All right. Don't seem too out of the... Oh, good lord. That's the gross national product of a small country.
Yeah, it is.
Hold on. Just let me see if I can get my hands on something. Could I use your phone?
Sure. It's right over there.
Thanks. I walked over to the phone, not realizing there was a patron attached to the receiving end of it until I was almost on top of him. Oof. Sorry, fella.
Hey. Do you mind? Do you hear? I can't. I'm talking.
All right. Go on talking. As I waited futilely by, I couldn't help reflecting on the case that had just closed. I didn't know what it was, but something just didn't feel right about it. There was something deeper we all hadn't thought of. Deeper, yet somehow right in plain sight.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know what to do. I can't take the old lady anymore. She's busted my hump all the time, and I just wanted her to go away sometimes.
And there it was. What I had overlooked, what we had all overlooked, was so boldly in front of us. So glaringly obvious that it blinded us all to its presence. The drunkard had given up on his conversation and sauntered away, finally leaving me a chance to use the phone.
Officer Travis Spinelli, what can I do you for?
Spinelli, good, you're there. I need you to do me a favor. About 20 minutes and 17 phone calls later, all the major players from this drama, Franz, Cindy's father, the butler, Spinelli, Spumosa, Lucinda, on special prison leave, Commissioner Rogers, Murdoch, and myself, were all gathered in the dining room of Guy's house. Most were equally perplexed.
I understand what's going on here. It's very confusing.
Excuse me! Could I have everyone's attention? Thank you. Everyone, take a seat. You're probably wondering why I've brought you all here.
It's like a murder mystery. I'll say. The case is closed, Flynn. All the evidence points directly to Lucinda. This is a waste of all of our time.
I agree. This is stupid.
What are you doing right now?
Is it now? You know, Robert, I was reviewing all the pieces of this little puzzle, and I think, in our haste, we might have jammed some pieces in to make them fit.
What are you saying, Harry?
What I'm saying is I don't think Lucinda did it.
What?
Oh, what?
I don't do that.
Oh, it seemed like Lucinda, all right. It did. She had the motive. She's in love with Franz.
Lucinda, is this true?
Yes, it's true, Franz. I've loved you ever since preparatory school. I just couldn't help myself.
Well, there it is. Again. Case closed. Can we go?
Not just yet. It seemed like she'd be the perp. Until you stop and think what she herself had to gain from a kidnapping.
She likes Franz. Wanted to get Cindy out of the way.
But a kidnapping? That doesn't exactly leave Franz up for grabs, does it? I mean, did she expect them to get a divorce afterwards?
Shut up.
Yes, but Harry, she's a little idiotic. She might not have thought it out thoroughly.
Oh, that word sounds pretty.
Look, we all know Lucinda's a little short of wattage upstairs.
What?
Never you mind. But no one in their right mind would hire specialists from out of state only for a kidnapping. It's like trying to use a revolver to kill a fruit fly.
Then who do you think did it? Who kidnapped my wife?
Well, look at it logically. There's only one person who could gain anything from the kidnapping of Mrs. Kensington. That's you, Franz.
I knew it!
What? How dare you?
Save it for your lawyer. You were unhappy in the marriage. Anyone would be if they had to deal with a wife like that. But you didn't want a divorce, because then you'd lose your cash cow. Not having the will or the drive to kill her, you thought maybe a nice kidnapping experience would level her out.
I don't have to listen to this.
I'm not done. You knew everyone would look toward Lucinda because she's openly enamored with you. You knew you could pin the rap on her easily, so you waited until she went up to New England for a week, thereby giving her a credible alibi. Then, when the time was right, you told the kidnappers to show themselves, making it seem as though she didn't think well enough to cover her own tracks.
Franz, how could you?
Feeding that, please find my wife, bit to me was the last diversion. It was good, but you didn't count on one thing. The butler.
What?
He said you couldn't count on the butler!
I don't know what a scuttler is.
No, you... Look, the butler was the first one to let me know what a rich little brat his wife truly was. From there, it was just simple observation. And, as luck would have it, an overheard bar conversation. But nobody needed to know that. So, tell me, Franz, how much did you pay the kidnappers to go to jail?
Nothing. But I told them their families would be in money for the rest of their lives.
You have anything to say for yourself?
You have no idea what it's like living with her. If anything wasn't her way, she'd moan and gripe until someone handed her what she wanted, just the way she wanted it. There's no middle ground with her. You can't ever win. And all that complaining, I just don't know what I was thinking. I need a distance from it, so I did it. But I didn't mean for any harm to come of it. Do you understand?
Oh, I understand. I understand you'll be doing some hard time. I understand that you even lied about the broken English. Book him, Spinelli.
Franz Kensington, you are under arrest for conspiring to kidnap your own wife. Come on, this way.
That's my daughter, you rapscallion.
Suddenly, Papa didn't seem so reserved anymore.
Consider yourself cut off.
I'll get you for this, Harry Flynn, or my name isn't Franz Kensington.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Minus the Franz Kensington part. Half of them are right, but even so. We all got out of the dining room and walked outside into the crisp fall air. Most of the blue bloods rushed out, wanting to distance themselves from this uncouth night as much as they could. But Spinelli and I lingered on.
I don't know how you do it, Harry.
I just do.
Question, Harry.
Answer, Travis.
What do you think will happen to Cindy Kensington?
She'll probably be changed to some degree from all of this. Whether it's for better or for worse, no one can say. We can only watch and wait. And she'll be able to visit her hubby whenever she wants. That is, behind thick iron bars. So much the better for him. Bar?
Bar.
Spinelli and I got along just fine for the remainder of the evening, telling old stories, laughing, and living it up like we were those old Yahoo Blue Bloods we had just worked for. And to tell you the truth, it was a lot of fun.
This week's episode, Blue Bloods, was written by Christopher Gatpo and Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Spinoza, Lucinda Pennbrook, and Mary Christopher Gatpo as Ben, Commissioner Rogers, Guy Number 3, Kidnapper Number 2, and Eugene. EJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Guy Number 2. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Franz Kensington, Commercial Announcer, and Butler. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Murray, Officer Spinelli, Guy Number 1, Kidnapper Number 1, and Guy Mansfield. And special guest star Samuel Groom as Random Guy, Chuck, and Drunk. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terrence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obregon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.